Right, joining me from West London, from the legendary band of the 60s, and a legend in his own lifetime as well, having been on two bands prior to actually hitting the headlines in 64 by joining the Searchers, a member of Cliff Bennett and the Rebel Rousers. Welcome on the phone with me right now, Frank Allen.
Good to be on the phone with you. Yes, a legend in his own mind, I think. Yes.
We have a phrase up here, legend in your own lunchbox.
Something like that.
Well, no, it's nothing like that, Frank, because, you know, you've got a legacy of music there that I've said to you before that I'm personally, because I'm into the 60s the big way, I can only thank you for the legacy of music you guys have produced.
Well, the songs thankfully, you did. Me and a lot of people were affected by that particular period, and it seems to have lasted for them. It means such an awful lot to people, as it does to us who are privileged enough to make a living out of it.
It shaped the music of pop music we listen to today, Frank.
I think so. And, well, to a great extent, to a certain extent. I mean, new music has come up since then that has totally diverted from the track we were on. But, yeah, I think particularly with guitar-based bands, you know, bands that played actual instruments as opposed to synthesizers, their reference point is always back to that period of the 60s when all the beat groups were lords over everything.
Well, you guys in the Searchers in your time, you were second only to the Beatles to have a big hit in the USA, were you not?
That's true, yeah. We in the 63 period, we were officially second, I think, in some kind of like rating somewhere along the line. And we had a good success in the States. We did several tours out there, and it was a magical time.
It was a magical time for everybody. I've talked to you in the past about the highs and lows of it. I'll not do that on this occasion. We'll simply talk about Frank Allen and the Searchers of 2013, if you like.
Okay, because you guys, fine, whatever you want.
Yeah, you guys. I'll maybe go back to it in a minute. I was talking to one of your other Merseyside big exponents of music back in the 60s only a couple of weeks ago. He lives in the States now. Billy J. Kramer, for example.
Oh, Billy, yeah. Billy's a lovely guy.
What a character.
Yeah, we've been trying so hard to get him over here to tour with us over the last few years, but I think he's got such a comfortable life out there that he doesn't really fancy leaving his home and doing a 2-3 month tour over here. He's, you know, he gets to go out and do the casinos over there. You get treated like royalty when you do all that, and you're not quite like royalty on the road in England, so I can understand where he's coming from, but it would be lovely to have Billy over here joining us in a package one day again.
Absolutely, he's a fabulous guy. I tell you what, he's got a head of hair at his age today that would unbelievable.
Well, you know, a grey hair day or a whatever hair day is better than a no hair day, isn't it?
Right, so Frank, I said this to you before and I'm going to say it to you again. Why? Now, I mean, I know you love it, but the listeners, tell the listeners, why are you guys, look at this touring schedule I've got, for example, you are all over the country, but not only that, you're actually all over the world because you were, on my last conversation with you, were heading off to Australia and places like that, weren't you?
Yeah, and we've actually just done all that again. Every beginning of the year, we tend to head out that way. And in fact, I only got back from Australia a few days ago. We spent 6 weeks out traveling all over the Sydney area, Queensland area, right up to Cairns. We were in Melbourne area and Adelaide and then over to Perth, of course. And then we spent that 6 weeks, got back. We 12 days off, during which we had 6 gigs. And now it's back off to New Zealand for 12 days. So it just doesn't stop.
It's crazy. You should be sitting at home with your feet up and a pint of lager, mate.
I suppose that's right, but I wouldn't really enjoy that. You know, we're doing what we enjoy and getting paid quite handsomely for it. So, we've got our health, we've got an audience that will pay to see us, and we enjoy what we're doing. And those are the three things that you have to have in place if you're going to, you know, to go out on the road. But I don't think anyone does it quite in the way that we do it. Our date sheet is ludicrous. Everyone comments on it. I mean, I spent time with Cliff Richard in Sydney just a few weeks ago, and he always is astonished by our date sheet. He can't believe that we do it. He's always makes a remark.
Which is why I've commented on it. It is quite astounding.
How
do you find it? I mean, there you go, on Australia, for example. How do you find the audiences, like, for age, for example? Is the audience appeal across the age?
It is across the age group. It is everywhere we play now. I mean, you do get the hardcore of the audience is in that kind of 50 to 60 age group. But I always say that on stage now that, an audience of the Searchers now goes from incredibly young to fast approaching death, and I think that's about covers it.
It's it's good that you can appeal to all ages, though. And I think, and I said to that, and I have been saying this for a couple of years now, there is a resurgence in the youth in 60s music and the interest in 60s music. And I find that doing a program, you must be finding that, obviously, when you're touring then.
Yeah, that takes care of the younger element of the audience. Yeah, we do find that people... I think what it is, for a long time, they were so deprived of proper guitar-playing bands. You know, synthesizers could make such incredible sounds, and you could create a band with a keyboard and drums if you wanted, but it's not quite the same. You know, synthesizers don't have personalities, guitars do. And I think people were just grateful to get back to all that kind of
indeed.
Thing.
Indeed. It's going to be May before you hit Scotland.
Yep.
I think it's the 17th in Motherwell and the 18th in Glenrothes.
Mm.
I think I've got myself down to be in Glenrothes on the 18th, incidentally.
Oh, fantastic. I can't remember having done the Glenrothes one before. We may have. Motherwell, we've done loads and loads of times. But we always look forward to getting up there. I mean, all my family's Scottish anyway, so it's like coming home to me.
I have a recollection you did Glenrothes the last time you were...
Two years ago. Kind of slip out of your memory banks.
It does. Is it an age thing, Frank?
There's more things slipping out the memory bank these days than ever before.
It's definitely an age thing. I know the feeling well.
Yes.
It's 61, let me tell you. What day is it?
Exactly. Well, I'm coming up to... In December, I shall be 70, so it's remarkable to think of those kind of ages, isn't it? You know, your parents were old at 40 when you were young, you know, and now I'm coming up to 70, and it means nothing at all to me. I just feel like I'm 25, and I should carry on being like that.
Indeed. Well, that makes even more nonsense out. It's 70, and you with a work schedule like this.
Mm. But it keeps you fit, though. I mean, I don't have any health problems. I don't have any failings in my body that I can think of. So I don't feel any different. All that happens really now is that I kind of like to have a nap more often than I ever did before. I enjoy sleeping very, very much. Apart from that, the energy's still there.
Indeed. And you've done a book. The Searchers and Me. Yeah. How's that been going? Because a couple of years now.
Well,
isn't it?
First one was in print for 10 years. That was Travelling Man. So it's not in print anymore. The latest one, The Searchers and Me, has been out about 2 years now, and it will carry on being out in hardback for forever. It seems like that's fantastic. That was a real labour of love for me. It took me 4 years to write, because when I was doing that one, as opposed to the first one, which was the book of humour mainly, the second one was all the detailed, definitive biography of the group. So I was very, very careful about everything there. I enjoyed it so much. It's gone down amazingly well.
And that's good to hear. I'm delighted to hear it. I'm still waiting on Wendy to get me my autograph one. I'm going to remind them, pull a chain on it.
Well, you have a word with my publisher, because they're the tight ones. They're not like record companies, where they give you like a whole bunch of things to hand out. Books, they treat like gold dust. You know, they distribute them very, very scarcely indeed. Mm. I used up my supply for friends and family ages ago, and I actually have to buy my own now when I go through to them.
So I've got to ask you a stupid question now, really, because we've been talking about this workload. What's next? There you are. You're on your second book. So what's next for Frank Allen?
Well, the group is the main thing. That takes care of everything. I may get to do some more writing, but I can't think of anything more to write about at the moment. But that's the thing I like to do outside the band. So I hope that will happen. On the future, as far as I can see, it's more shows like this, more trips abroad, more of our all-evening solo concerts around the country. And, of course, some of the package tours. We've got this package tour coming up in November, September through to December, I think it is, with ourselves, PJ Proby, and Jerry and the Pacemakers, Brian Paul and Chip Hawk. So that's going to be...
Yeah, which is what Billy was doing. He was doing the cruises, and that's why he's not coming home.
Who was?
Billy J. Kramer. He was out there doing the cruise.
It's a comfortable life, isn't it? You don't have all that rigors of life on the road. That's a very nice way to do it. We do cruises every now and again, you know, just as a bit of a change and a bit of a treat. We wouldn't like to do them all the time, but it's nice to do them when we get the chance.
So have you got a hankering to do something new then, for example? Have you got a hankering for maybe the Searchers to come up with something?
Yeah, it would be nice. There is talk in the wind of a new album being done in the next year at the moment, involving some other high-profile people as well. It takes a bit of organising, though, because more or less, you know, let's face it, you're a nostalgia act and you're relying on your back catalogue. If you do a new album, it very rarely makes any money. You know, if you don't make it, then you don't know if it's going to do anything. But you know, the last couple of times in 1980 and then in 89, great albums, a lot of critical acclaim, absolutely no royalties whatsoever. But money has never been the motivator. Factor, but if we're going to go into the studio, it means coming off the road for goodness knows how long, and that means not earning for goodness knows how long. So you have to a lot to think about when these things come up.
Yeah, absolutely, because you've got to keep earning, and that's the story of life. And indeed, and nobody's putting money up for anybody these days unless you get on X Factor or something
silly like that.
Yeah,
you've got to go straight to number one, or you don't.
Yeah, it's crazy. Frank, so I know I asked you this before, but I'm going to ask you again because I'm going to play it.
Yeah.
Favorite Searchers track, if there's such a thing?
It has to be When You Walk in the Room.
Yeah.
That was the, I joined in August the 3rd, 64, went to the studio pretty much straight away. That was the first one I was on, but that's not the reason I'm picking it mainly. It's because it was just one of the best pop single we ever recorded. Written by Jackie DeShan, got everything in place to make it a hit. The guitar figure, the great tune, great lyrics, room for the harmonies and the 12 string. I managed to get a dual lead vocal on that one as well.
I was just going to ask you that. I had a recollection you did a dual lead vocal with Mike Pender, didn't you?
Mike used to do most of the lead vocals, but for the first record, they said, why don't we try you two singing in unison, which we did. And in fact, strangely enough, it's my voice that gets the edge. I'm not a lead singer, and I don't do much of that at all. I shouldn't really be let loose near a microphone in that capacity. I'm better off stuck in the background with harmony, but it's nice to have done that.
I think I also read in that same article, was that not the first use, maybe for everybody, but definitely for the Searchers, of a 12-string electric guitar?
It's the first time we ever used the electric 12-string on a single. Yeah, everyone thinks it's probably on Needles and Pins, but that was actually two singles making a very trebly, jangly sound. And we did a couple of album tracks before that on acoustic 12 strings, but that's the first one where you actually got electric 12 string in and used the 12 string as it was supposed to be. So you're right.
So can I rewind just before 1964, then, when you were doing Cliff Bennett?
Yep.
What hits were you on with Cliff?
None.
Did he have any?
As soon as I left them. I was with them from 1961. We made, I think, about five or six singles before I left. Not one of them had a sniff at the charts. And then I left, and One Way Love went into the charts. In fact, they were fighting positions with us in the Searchers at that time. You know, they came out at the same point. So I did do that song in the show with them before I left, and I actually played it for the record producer so that he could hear what songs they had available for recording. But I didn't. It was Bobby Thompson playing bass on that. So it was very lucky timing, actually, because if they'd have had that hit, then while I was with them, I wouldn't have left the band. I would have been poverty stricken by now.
Yeah, that's just how life turns, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I didn't know the answer to that question. It wasn't a loaded question, so forgive me. I didn't know that.
No problem.
I actually did think you were on maybe a couple of the hits.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. No, quite a few of the records, but no hits.
Brilliant. Well, Frank, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I could talk forever and ever and ever, but I really wanted to get the work schedule, the fact you're in Scotland in May, and might even be in Scotland another time if I have my way, particularly for East Coast FM. And all I can say to you, my friend, is thank you very, very, very much, and all the very best.
Well, thank you for having me on the programme. It's been always good to talk to you up there. We look forward to coming to Scotland. I must encourage people to come along to the show, and also to check out the website, because we have the best website. And now I'm going to go into the bathroom and deal with my plumber, who's going to fix my faulty loo.
Frank Allen of The Searchers, thank you very much indeed for joining us on East Coast FM.
Pleasure to be on the show. Bye now.
Bye now. All the best, Frank.
Bye.